When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Eye on the U podcast, Miami Herald's Miami Hurricanes podcast. I'm David Wilson and I'm joined as always on the other line waiting for Cormani McClain news. It's Susan Miller-Degnan, our Hurricanes beat writer here at the Herald. Susan, what's going on?
Hey, I'm not sure we're going to get Cormani, although the way these guys are, they like doing it late, so who knows?
Yeah, they stay up later than you.
Yes, they do.
We're recording, so I guess we should set the scene. We're recording, it's almost 7 o'clock on Thursday. Conrad Hussey, one of the last guys we were waiting on, just signed with Florida State. He was choosing between Miami, Florida State, and Penn State. Miami was kind of a long shot in there, made a late push, so I don't think a huge loss for Miami to not get him, but we are still waiting on one big piece of news. That is what's going to happen with Cormani McClain. I guess we should say it. It is the early signing period began Wednesday at 7 a.m. It runs until 11:59 p.m. on Friday. Miami signed 25 high school players on Wednesday. The vast majority of the class made a couple additions, a punter from Australia and Damari Brown, a four-star cornerback from American Heritage. The rest of the guys are guys we've talked about at various points throughout the last couple years. Not really any, you know, bad news for Miami. It was obviously a pretty overwhelmingly good day for the Canes, who ended Wednesday. And as we talk now, still have the number four class in America. That is including Cormani McClain, who is still committed technically, although not signed. If he doesn't sign, they would slip to, I think, fifth is the last time I did the math on it, according to 24/7's composite rankings. Coming out of yesterday, talking to Mario, obviously, for about half an hour, and just kind of generally knowing the way recruiting goes, my gut was still that Cormani McClain was going to end up signing with Miami. We know how recruiting is these days with NIL and, everyone being a brand and everyone wants to maximize their return. We've seen stranger recruiting circumstances, obviously, than this one in Miami history. So my gut was still he was going to sign with Miami, but I'll say the farther we get from Wednesday, the less confident I feel. It sounds like we know Colorado and Deion Sanders has gotten into the mix. We know Alabama for a long time was in the mix as well and trying to get back in there. So that's the piece of news we're waiting for. But it did not put a damper on Wednesday for Miami, which was just a massively successful day. Certainly Mario's best day as coach of the Hurricanes so far.
Yeah, for sure. He had a great class. I know how important cornerback is if they don't get Cormani McClain, but I still think that the two other five-star offensive tackles, I don't know. I'd rather have those guys.
Yeah,
I don't know. What about you? I'd rather have.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna do the second half of this episode. We're gonna do like some superlatives for this class, and we're definitely gonna talk a lot about the two offensive linemen because that's the big deal from this class, really. There's a lot of big deals. I guess we should run through some of the highlights. I'd say the highlight is those two 5-star tackles, Francis Maingoa, originally from American Samoa, playing at IMG Academy in Bradenton. And Samson Okunlola from Thayer Academy in Braintree, Massachusetts, right outside of Boston. Miami never before this year has had two 5-star offensive linemen sign in the same recruiting cycle in the recruiting rankings era. So like a historic haul already. Then you throw in the fact they got couple other interesting, you know, a lot of interesting offensive line. Frankie Tinalau, an Australian tackle who spent this year at LaSalle in Miami. Couple big interior guys. Tommy Kinsler, guard, they flipped from Florida. Huge, what is he, 6'5" as a guard. And then Antonio Tripp, who could be the center long-term, another IMG guy from outside Baltimore. That's the headliner of the class. I think, you know, they definitely rebuilt a little bit at cornerback with or without Cormani McClain, getting Damari Brown, getting Robert Stafford from Melbourne, O'Galley up there. Definitely made linebacker a big priority. What, 4 linebackers, I think, signed? I don't have the full list in front of me right now. I probably should. But some good linebackers coming in. And then, you know, I'd say the other storyline is, and it's interesting, Barry wrote about the fact that they only have, when he wrote it, 8 guys from South Florida, wound up being 9 with Damari flipping, or with Damari committing, I should say, on Wednesday. But I think Miami for you know, kind of owned South Florida again. And, you know, they've had classes where they've gotten more South Florida kids, but I don't know if they've had a class. And they, you know, they still obviously didn't get all the, but, you know, 5-star wide receiver Brandon Ennis went to Ohio State, 5-star wide receiver.
Right.
Hakeem Williams went to Stranahan, but they're like, they got all the, you know, I'd say they got probably those 9 guys. They got, I think, 8 or 4-star top three or 400 recruits. Like they really, I think they got the guys they wanted in Dade for the most, Dade and Broward for the most part. I think they really would have liked Brandon Ennis. But yeah, otherwise I think that those are the big stories to me coming out of the day.
Yeah. They got it was good. They got a good amount of South Florida guys and some old school guys, and they got some legacy guys, which was interesting, right?
Yeah, Damari Brown is the son of Selwyn Brown, coming in brother Devontae Brown, who's transferring from UCF. Bobby and Robbie Washington are twin sons of former Miami signee Bobby Washington, who never wound up playing at the school. Ended up at NC State instead, but still obviously a Kane connection there. So yeah, they obviously went national, like Francis, and international, right? Frankie Tinalau, Francis Maingoa, the punter, Dylan Joyce, Collins Ishiampong, offensive lineman or defensive lineman they got, who's out in California, originally from Ghana. So they hit everything, I think, in this class, really. Like all the things you knew Mario was going to do pretty well, the West Coast, South Florida, and then just like a 5-star from, you know, Boston. Like they hit every quadrant, really.
Lock up
Cormani.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. It's kind of interesting. Yeah, actually, I kind of agree with you. The longer it is, the worse off it is for Miami.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, he's committed right now, and the long, you know, if he signs, he's kind of, you don't have to worry about it anymore. The longer it goes, the more you have to worry.
And then they have tell people that I tell people, I mean, it's an early signing period now, so they have till 11:59 p.m. Friday.
Yes.
To sign.
Yeah, some commitments and signings still happening today. So
yeah, they have to wait, if not until.
Well, so the interesting thing here with Cormani McClain, we should say, is as far as I know, he is planning to early enroll. He theoretically could never sign and then just enroll at a school. And so he does have a deadline of Friday, but it's not really a deadline because, you know, it's the way that guys used to early enroll before they signed, you know, when there was only the one signing day, some guys would still early enroll. You never actually sign a national letter of intent. Once you're at the school, you're at the school. The national letter of intent just basically says you can't back out and say, I'm not going to go to the school. And the school can't deny you the scholarship at that point. So theoretically, the saga should end around the time most of you are listening to this. Again, it could go longer because there's once, you know, when you're an early enrollee, the rules don't apply to you in some ways. especially when you're a guy like Cormani, who, you know, some guys got to sign during their early signing period or they lose their spot, right? Cormani McClain is a guy that anyone is going to make it work if he decides to come. He's number two player overall in the country, according to 24/7's composite rankings.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll have to see. We just saw Conrad Hussey.
Yes. That was the last other guy we were kind of waiting on early here. Mm.
We thought he was going to go to Penn State. He ends up going to FSU, or FSU. Maybe I thought Penn State. I mean, that was still on his social media profile, whole thing at Penn State. And so it's so funny how some of these guys flip at the last second. Although I don't know how much I don't know how invested he was in Florida State, really. So.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to do most of this episode, we're going to hand out some superlatives for this class. But before we get into that, Mario did talk for about half an hour yesterday. And as I said, probably the best day of his tenure at Miami so far. Obviously there were not a lot of good days during the season. I mean, you could tell how big a day the program was treating it as when there were boosters all around the football facility in the back rows of the press conference. Before we move on to our superlatives, any big takeaways from talking to Mario yesterday? Obviously, he's excited about this class. Did anything in particular stand out to you as particularly noteworthy about what he feels about this group?
Yeah, he's, of course.
Yeah, he's never going to come out in there and be like, oh, we signed a really crappy class. And they didn't.
I mean, all coaches love their class.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but he really did sign a great class.
Yes, he did.
And he signed he signed a pretty good class last year when he had
did he say? We it was in our headline.
Right, came on the 6th, I think.
11 days or something. Yeah.
Yeah, or even or whatever. But he said he's not, you know, this year, David, there's you can sign as many new players.
Yes.
As you need to, as you want to, really, as long as you stay within the 85 scholarship framework. I mean, that's been 85 is the limit for scholarships. And I asked him how many openings he still had. And he said, I don't know. He said he didn't know. And he had enough openings that he didn't have to worry about it now, which obviously he does know. But the point is, he got 25 new players, right? And he could get more.
Plus four transfers.
Plus more transfers. And he told us that, you know, that he's still looking for defensive tackles and receivers, outside receivers. I guess he wants some big guys.
Yeah. I really like both the receivers they got in this class, Nathaniel Joseph and Robbie Washington. But Nathaniel Joseph is 5'8", and Robbie Washington's 5'10". Like, Miami's got some good slot. I love a lot of the slot guys on their roster. Obviously, Xavier Restrepo is probably their. I guess we can't say he's their best receiver now because Colby Young did look pretty good at various points last year. But, you know, clearly one of their best receivers, Jacoby George and Breshard Smith, have both had really good moments. But they need another. They never found that guy to play opposite Colby Young, and that is, to me, if I'm looking at one thing that I don't feel great about in this class, it's not the receiver group as a whole, because again, I like those two guys a lot. It's the fact that they still are struggling, and it goes back years and years at this point. They found a lot of good slot guys. They've really kind of struggled to find those outside receivers. And, you know, I think the highest ranked one of those guys they probably got somewhat recently was Romello Brinson. And obviously he is transferring, and as you know, he's always had pretty good size, but he was always really skinny and was not like the most not a physically dominant wide receiver in the way that like Colby Young proved he could be, or even like Charleston Rambo sometimes felt like.
No, they really haven't gotten like elite big bodied receivers.
I think like the last like top 100 recruit they got at receiver was probably Mark Pope. And again, he was a small guy. He was a slot guy, really.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
Yeah.
I mean, that is I don't know why, for some reason, that position.
Yeah, especially because it's interesting because South Florida produces so many good receivers, but a lot of the really good receivers down here are slot guys. You know, you think of like Mark Pope, obviously was, you know, state championship winning wide receiver at Southridge, and you know,
right.
That's why like Hakeem Williams is not a perfect player who went to Florida State from Stranahan, but like they really could have just used a guy like him who's, you know, was first team all county for us in basketball and is like, you know, that he's a physically dominant athlete. But we're picking nits with this class. There's a lot, way more positives than negatives. Five top 100 signees already, according to 24/7's rankings. It would be six if and when they get Cormani in the fold. Offensive line, totally rebuilt with this class. Linebacker, I think they did a really good job at got two great defensive ends and Reuben Bain and Jaden Wayne. Like they checked all the boxes of like what other than wide receiver, which is a really important position in modern football. You know, I'd say the most important positions in football now are kind of like, you know, obviously quarterback. We'll probably talk a little bit of Emery Williams. You talked to him pretty extensively earlier this week. Obviously the trenches are always important, specifically edge rushers and tackles. They got four elite ones. I, in my opinion,
very important.
They got, you know, cornerback is just super important now with how much teams pass. They got, if they sign Cormani, the best cornerback in the country, and two other guys who, you know, profile as future starters, NFL type players, and then got two good receivers, but the one thing missing is those bigger outside guys.
Yeah. They got, we're talking about, but what we could talk.
Yeah, should we?
They're running back.
They got two good running backs, and two very complimentary running backs. I will say Fletcher is definitely big, 6'1", like 240. You know, and I think more than just a power back. I think he reminds me of like SEC running backs. Like I don't want to compare him like Todd Gurley and Nick Chubb, but he reminds me of like those big guys at Georgia. Bowls people over, but it also has good speed and can break away.
He's really good, but you see all those high school players. I saw him in the state title game, and I was like, wow, that guy.
I think he's the total package. And I went into that game. You know, like, you know, I talked to just a lot of people around high school football who, you know, like all around the state, and people who cover recruiting and scout type people and stuff. And there were a lot of people who I know went into that state title game high on Mark Fletcher. Like, how could you not be? He's, you know, ran for almost 2,000 yards this year, but thinking like, is he really like, you know, is he just a power back? Could he be, you know, is he going to end up being like another Thad Franklin or whatever? A lot of people came out of that game being like totally sold on him. So I think you saw him at his best, but I saw him a couple of weeks earlier and he was just as good. So
is he built? He's kind of built like Thad Franklin, right?
I think he's a little bit like Thad was really like kind of bowling ball built. Whereas I think Fletcher is a little bit leaner, maybe. He's had a little bit better speed. I don't know if what their like 40 times are or whatever. I just think he's more complete. I love Dad as like a ground and pound, give him the ball 25 times and he's going to run for 125 yards or whatever. But Fletcher's got, I think, a little bit more of like a burst, like a big play, you know, can take a hit, find his balance, and then take off and pick up 10 more yards before a bunch of people have to drag him down. And then Chris Johnson, the other running back, is three-time state champion in track and field. Like, he's pure speed. Gonna have to get bigger, but love the way they complement each other.
Those were really huge.
Well, we saw how important it was, especially if Miami wants to run it like Mario Cristobal seems to. But all right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and then we'll hit our superlatives for this class.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, I just threw out a couple on an outline that I sent you the other day of some broad topics. running through this class, I felt like it would be a good way to just kind of hit on a couple of different guys, offer up our thoughts on them and maybe our slot in how they could potentially fit in both to next year's roster and obviously the long-term vision of this program. Number one on this superlative that I wanted, I think we had to start with, is most important recruit of this cycle. To me, and I think we're in lockstep here, it is Francis Maingoa. Miami has not signed a tackle like that, maybe ever. I mean, Shontrell Henderson, I think, is the last five-star offensive lineman to sign with Miami. Obviously, you know, a little bit of an underwhelming career, right, for what he was, but still a guy who made it to the NFL. And the good thing about this Miami class is they got two of those guys. But Francis is the one who, you know, he's got the total package in terms of like size. You know, Okonlola a little, just, you know, just a little bit smaller, probably more agile, a nationally like ranked wrestler. But Francis is, and the fact they got him early, I think I talk about it all the time. Momentum really does matter in college football. Getting him early, July 4th, he committed. That was a big deal. It really set the tone, I think, for what this class was going to be for Mario Cristobal.
Absolutely. He seems really into it. Did you see the video that he put out with his brother?
Oh, no, I didn't, actually. Like, from when they were signing, they put it out probably while we were in the press conference.
Oh, my God. You have no idea. You have no idea. It was just watch. It's like the most amazing video I've ever seen. He's doing the Samoan thing.
Like the haka?
Maybe. He's wearing, I don't know what he's wearing. Not much. And like, he's, like, waving around some fireballs. And it's amazing. It's fantastic. I've watched it like a million times already. So, and he seems very devoted, you know, to Mario, very loyal, and he helped getting the class. And if he's as good as they say he is, oh my God, do they need him?
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, I know I always seem like a Debbie Downer, but I feel like this one's gonna work out. Okay.
Yeah,
but
I think I've
seen like guys at Miami that they say, oh my God, just like you were saying, and they're good, but they're not amazing. So I'm hoping he's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think for like there is an intangible aspect to recruiting, and that is the like character and work ethic and all that kind of stuff. And again, like I think I talked about this last week. I hate to like act like I know what kind of people these 16, 17, 18 year old kids are based off, like, you know, some of them I get to know better, like these local, you know, Reuben Bain and Nathaniel Joseph. I've talked to those guys like a ton, but I did, you know, I went over to IMG one day in the summer and spent some time around, you know, in the weight room with all these Miami commits, and Francis, like, he like stood out, and not just obviously as, you know, a freak in the weight room, but also like, you know, when we finished up, I got kind of all those Miami. It was everyone but Riley Williams was sick that day. So I got the other three though. And like Francis was like the leader of that trio. Like he was like, when I would ask a question, like he would always be like the first one to like kind of step up and, you know, give the answer, all that kind of stuff. Like, I think, yeah, it's, we've talked about it a million times, how hard it is to evaluate offensive line. But Francis, really, I think, has a lot of the intangible things that you check. And then obviously the physical things that you check too.
Yeah.
Which is a good combination.
Yeah, it's very good. I just have a good feeling about him. The other, you know, Okunlola, I don't know, but he makes it seem like he's really good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know him as well. I talked to him once on the phone after he visited the Pancake Honcho. Wants to find the best pancakes in Miami. I don't know him as well. But fact that I love two sport guys. And I love linemen. I love linemen who wrestle.
Yeah, I was just going to say that he's a national like prep wrestling star.
Yeah, and heavyweight, okay, so, in the heavyweight class. So that to me is a really good sign.
Yeah, I actually totally agree with that.
I do wonder, you know, he's from Boston. They're not playing the same competition that a guy like Francis or these Miami kids are. So I wonder if there will be a little bit more of a growing pain there. Whereas Francis played, you know, at IMG, they play the toughest schedule in America pretty much. Like, he's going to come in and not be super overwhelmed by college. Which I
would, you're right. And I love that his brother's coming.
Yep.
Who was part of the video, by the way. That's what I'm saying. Oh my God. Make sure everybody make sure you see this video.
Maybe we'll put it in the story that goes with this. Francisco Amangola, who definitely has a chance to start at linebacker for this.
Why can't we play the video now for people? We can't do that.
I don't have that technology. I'm not smart enough for that.
What? You can't like put it on and then, I don't know.
I'll ask our producer, or non-existent producer, me. Okay, next one. Most likely to start as a freshman. I think Francis, you have to consider in this category. I will say, if Cormani was in the class, if he was definitely going to be in the class, I would say him, just because I think cornerback, you know, Miami's losing their two starting cornerbacks. And I don't think has a clear cut, you know, Devontae Brown transfer, I would say is an excellent shot to start as a guy who started every game last year for UCF. Older brother of Damari Brown, as I think we said earlier. So that's really the spot I am looking at. I think Francis, you know, will have a shot. You know, they got an opening at right tackle with DJ Scaife and John Campbell both departing. So could Francis step in there? Would not be shocking. Javion Cohen obviously will factor in probably in the interior, which could move a guy like Jalen Rivers outside. You know, Inez Cooper obviously impressed. So they got some options there. But to me, they need a cornerback, I think, to step up from this class. So Cormani is my pick if he ends up in this class. If not, I'll go with Robert Stafford, a guy I have not seen play in person, but, you know, a playmaker, top 200 recruit. I think him or Damari, I think either one of those guys. I'm not saying they'll start from day one. Not even saying they'll start most of the season, but I think at some point, you know, with what they need at cornerback, those guys could have a Wesley Bissaint-like trajectory, right? Where Wesley came in, I think everyone knew they had a need at linebacker, and eventually Wesley won that job. I think we're going to end up in a similar situation at corner this year, where everyone knows it's a need. Are these guys going to be ready right out the gate? Probably not, but eventually down the road, someone can win that job.
What about one of the, you know, the rush ends or the edges or even one of the linebackers? I don't know.
Yeah, linebackers are interesting. I mean, Willie obviously Bryant. Francisco, you know, I think we both think Wesley's like a lock, right? And then Francisco obviously interesting. D end, you know, I think I said last week, I kind of expect like Reuben Bain to have like a Nigel Lee Kelly type impact. Technically not a starter, but. Gonna help, but you know, they've got Jafari Harvey coming back, right? And Nigel Kelly in the mix. Like they actually have some decent options at defensive end. Cornerback is just a spot I feel like there's an opening.
Yeah, you know, Jafari just got his I think he got his degree.
Mm-hmm.
But
we haven't heard anything about him lately.
I'm not convinced he's coming back, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't think he said he's coming back, and I don't think he said he's leaving. So, but he could.
That's why I operate on the assumption guys are coming back until they tell us otherwise.
All right. That's could be probably actually,
but yeah, who knows?
What about, I was saying Malik Bryant.
Yeah. I mean, Malik Bryant, Raul Aguirre, those are pretty good picks too. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I think offensive line might be the position. So
yeah. We're talking a lot of Francis Mangoa, but he deserves it, and he's probably the answer to this next one. Most likely to become a first round pick. You think it's Francis?
Oh no, it's just like a Francis Mangoa show. Yeah.
Probably the safest bet, right? A left tackle, giant, five star recruit. Like, those guys become first round picks a lot.
Yeah,
and as much as I love a guy like Reuben Bain,
he doesn't seem
that 6'2" defensive ends don't get picked super high.
Yeah, exactly. I've been thinking about that the whole time. But if he's that good, you know,
Yeah, he'll be a fantastic. I'd be surprised if he's not a great college player. But we're talking NFL scouting. Like, you get nitpicked to death when you're going to the NFL.
Maybe I'll go with the punter again.
First round pick.
I don't know. Yeah, not first round, but maybe he'll be a starter.
Oh, that is the correct answer. I didn't even think of that. The correct answer to which freshman is most likely to start is Bryce Joyce. Did I get that right?
Joyce. Some kind of Joyce. Joyce is a second name.
Yeah.
I think
that is the correct answer. They brought him in to start to be
the
Headley replacement. Dylan Joyce. Sorry.
And I bet he's from Australia. I bet you anything that that Lou Headley knows him really well.
Yeah, they both came through the pro kick pipeline, which is basically where all the Australian punters come from.
Yeah, I guarantee you Lou knows him. And
that's the correct answer, though, because Dylan Joyce will almost – I mean, we did see Nelson Foley was really good in that one game, so I was actually kind of a little surprised.
Yeah, that was cool. You're right. He was really good.
But Dylan Joyce, he's definitely the favorite to start a punter. Like, you don't give a punter a scholarship if you don't expect him to start.
And Mario seriously talked highly of
– Yeah.
I just feel that Lou kind of handpicked him. I have no idea if that's true. But Mario totally trusts him. I bet he said that he's the best guy, and then they checked out tape or whatever the hell they
do. Similar to most likely be a first round pick, I got one highest ceiling and another. This is where I want to mention Collins Achiampong. Defensive lineman from Ghana, 6'7", 255 already.
Love it.
Only really played 2 years of football. I was mostly came to the U.S. to pursue basketball and wound up changing sports. Because he is like freakish, right? You could easily see that. I mean, you know, Greg Rousseau is in some ways like a once in a generation development process is like a guy who came in as a giant safety and turned into a first round pick at defensive end. But like the parallels are obvious there.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that one. I'm kind of excited about
it. I'm really interested to see what he looks like, especially because they need guys who can play the interior. And you can see Achiampong, he's got good size, 255. I know 6'7", he's obviously even bigger, but like he can help. I mean, he's raw. We haven't seen a lot of him, but he's only played about like less than 20 football games in his life, but.
This is upside person. Is this the upside award?
Yeah, highest ceiling.
All right. I was mentioning that, and I mean, I really don't know, but possibly Emery Williams, a quarterback.
Who's the interesting thing about him is he's only been a starter in high school for 2 years, so there's a lot of upside left to tap into there.
I did this story. I spent hours and hours doing research and interviewing and talking to people that knew him. And obviously everybody I talked to either were related or coached him. Or
they got their biased a little bit. Obviously,
yeah, they're biased coaches. I did get a few some coaches and people were very high on him. Now I haven't seen him other than videos, you know, which to me don't tell you that much, but I know he was in the Elite 11 finals and he did pretty well.
Yep.
He did significantly better than Jaden Rashada, who I'm just saying the facts. That's all. And who's now at FSU, Florida. Right. He's supposedly a super, super hard worker, really intense. He's been coached by, David Morris, a very good coach for the past several years since he was 13. Mm-hmm. And I think Malik Rozier is going to be helping now because he's with QB Country, I guess it's called.
Yeah, which is up in that panhandle, Alabama, Florida. They're from the same part of America,
Mobile, Alabama. Yeah, exactly. So, and now Malik told me that he was also, he coaches Tyler Van Dyke. We knew that, but he's also coaching Ja'Kari Brown, which is interesting. So
Let's zoom through these last two because we're about to run out of time here. Okay. Most underrated. It's
underrated.
I'm looking at some of the linebackers there. I think Caleb Spencer is really interesting as like a hybrid safety linebacker. Good size, going to play that like star role probably. But to me, it's Joshua Horton, 6'4", 285, and had 100 tackles as a defensive tackle for Langston Hughes, the state championship winning program in Georgia. And Mario was really high on him. I think he said that's exactly what you want a three tech to look like. So he's a guy I really like. You got anyone? You mentioned Emery. He could end up Emery being that, could certainly be. If he becomes a starter.
He could definitely be the most underrated. Or he could be, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just we don't really know how these guys are going to do in college, and especially with the quarterback.
Yeah, quarterback is, you know, that and offensive line are the two hardest spots to evaluate.
Who knows when he's going to get a chance to play, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be buried on the depth chart early, assuming all these kids stick around at Miami. Most likely to become a fan favorite. I got two guys. I always go with the local guys here. Reuben Bain and Nathaniel Joseph. Two local guys. Nathaniel Ray is like a true Kane kind of guy. Grew up a Miami fan, all that kind of stuff. Reuben Bain is legendary high school player here at this point.
Yeah, I think that you're going to crack up. Francis Magoa.
Yeah, he's another one. I mean, he's got a big, great personality and could, like, you know, program savior in some ways if he totally, like, if he becomes a top 10 pick or whatever.
Yeah, and plus, as soon as everybody watches a video, he's going to become a fan favorite.
Yeah, and Dylan Joyce, because Miami loves punters from Australia.
Definitely.
Just get him some tattoos. He's just got to get some tattoos.
Just going to say, we need to check out how many tattoos he has for sure. But yeah, those are all good picks.
Yeah.
All right. We never know how they're going to be. It's right, so funny. That's the thing. Every year we say they're so good. They're so great.
But then, what would the fun be in saying we don't know what's going to happen? That'll be no fun. The whole fun of signing day is to guess. And you can talk about how right you were or how wrong you were 3 years from now. But on that note, we'll wrap things up. You can follow Susan on Twitter at SMillerDegnan. Follow me on Twitter at DBWilson2. Get a little quieter here. It's the holiday season. So everyone have a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year, all that good stuff. And we should be back next week, I think. But we will definitely talk to you guys later on. Thanks, as always, for listening all year. And we'll talk to you guys later.